Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
My name is Deckard Cain, and I'm in the Nexus. Our enemies are many, but they'll never best
That's
us.
Right.
If I find old Diablo, even I might take him down. You should always remember that we're in a different town. Horodrim in a house? Where's my staff? Stay a while and listen. Quickly in and quickly out is all the advice I can give you. This is Core! My scrolls contradict you!
Wait a minute. Was that actual? Oh, sorry. sorry. Didn't mean to hit that key. I'm so excited I bumped a key. That was the guy. That's the guy. Yeah. How did we get the guy?
That's the actual sound file. And well, okay, no, I called my agent and his agent called him and they were like, yo, we want to do a Core thing.
No,
and
he was saying things that were like so specific to the show. There's no way. Like the rap at the beginning thing.
The rap at the beginning is a sound file in the game.
It
I'm not
going
to spoil for it. You guys have to figure out how to make them say it for yourselves.
I feel like that felt really real.
My
like,
name is Deckard Cain, and I'm in the Nexus.
Oh, my
booty,
gosh.
Booty, booty, Herodrim.
So what I thought maybe happened, because John talked that dude into doing stuff for the Diablo show back in the day, and so I thought maybe that happened again, and I just about lost it in here. That was incredible.
Maybe they heard Corin at the last minute. They're like, yo, yo, we got to do a rap. Heroes Dev Team. We got to throw a rap in there for my boy John. My man's John over on Core.
Yeah.
We need a rap.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went.
That's how it went down. That's
I found it in there and I was like super excited.
Yeah, it's really good.
Awesome.
I also like that is he the first guy we have two? We have now two versions of an intro with him. Well, about him. One with John, one with the real guy.
Yeah.
I don't think so we have anything else like that.
If we could get the voice actor for Deckard Cain and John together at BlizzCon
a
freestyle rap battle, that would go down in the history books.
A rap-off. Yeah, you call it a rap-off.
Oh, it's a rap battle. It's a rap battle.
Oh, it's a rap battle. Sorry. It's step it up or whatever.
Rap-off is something you do under a bridge. I think
that's how the elves in the North Pole stay motivated.
Yeah, I see. I see how it is. Well, that was fantastic. The one with John, Chatterton's like, where's the one with John? Well, we're not playing them both. What do you think
Let's
this is?
Show again.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. Hey, hello and welcome, everybody. It's Heroes of the Storm podcast called Core. I'm Scott with Bo and John. It's fantastic to be back. I was in Las Vegas last week, and that meant, boom, show got dinged, and we couldn't do one. We apologize. Honestly, the only real news that happened that day, or up to that day, was Deckard Cain came out. Like he was a, I don't mean he's gay now. I mean, he came out on the server and was a playable character and you could buy him and play him. That's what I'm saying.
Good that you clarified that, Scott. I think people were confused.
I probably didn't need to, now that I think about it, which is probably your point. But anyway, the point is, what is the point? The point is Vegas was fantastic, and I know the few of you who are listening now were there, and I want to thank you guys for coming up and saying hi. Lots of people asking about Bo and John, which is always nice to hear as well. Core resonates across the network, and that felt good. So does There Will Be Dungeons. So we were stoked about that. And so thanks, everybody, for being a part of it. You also got a There Will Be Dungeons exclusive sticker that I don't even have one of yet. But everybody there got a bag with a bunch of stuff in it. And one of them was one of those. And some old Core stickers over here and some other stuff. So anyway, that was awesome. Sorry we missed it. But we have some good news. Coming up this June, it's back. Look out. Tie your button and poke your cheese. It's time again for the Heroes Charity Brawl. June 2nd, 2 p.m. Pacific, and that's 5 p.m. Eastern. That's happening June 2nd, just like it has for, well, not the same date, but we've done this for, what, 3 years now? This will be the third? This will
be year three.
Yeah, year three.
2018 edition.
Yeah, this is a great charity that we put together with a bunch of other podcasters and people in the community. Where we play a bunch of Heroes games and do a bunch of weird custom modes, and we do it all for charity. And that charity is the Make-A-Wish Foundation, a foundation that is also beloved by Blizzard. So we always feel pretty good about doing this. And Blizzard always offers a little bit of help, some giveaways, some other stuff. We're very hopeful this year about all that, plus other things. So without giving away too much, it's exciting, Bo and John. In fact, Bo, you've been at most of the meetings and getting to the planning stages. Are you excited to raise money for kids and play Heroes at the same time somehow?
I'm super stoked because I think this is the best 5 hours of video gaming for me in the year.
Whoa.
It is so much fun playing with you guys and with the other podcasters from the other shows that join up, which are, we can say that it's going to be Lords of the Storm and Into the Nexus will be there and Heroes Forge this year. And some more perhaps not announced yet. So we're super stoked, but it's like the most fun time because we're not in there going like, get into bottom lane and soak that. We're like, you know, how do you get your ass to Mars, Tracer? That kind of thing. Like we're just trying to play the game completely incorrectly.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a blast and you guys in the chat room donating. It's just super inspiring. I've not the best raiser of money over my 38 years, and you've given me something that to be proud of, and so it's just really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this year. I think we're just gonna have a lot of fun again. And
I agree, we got to beat our old records. Let's do better than last year, even see what we can do there. And don't forget, one of the brawls that showed up was pretty much the Battle of the Bullion or whatever the hell we called it. I feel like we also inspire Blizzard a little with some ideas. I don't know if they've ever admitted it. I got a couple of sly looks the last BlizzCon about this, but yeah.
We got some acknowledgement, actually. Yeah, not directly, but, you know, we heard from a guy who went nudge.
I was told from someone in the know that Battle for the Bullion directly inspired that brawl.
Yeah, which is awesome. So we want to do that. We'll do that again without even, we're not going to try. It'll just happen naturally, organically, as the kids say.
Or some of the people will meet every week for 2 hours and come up with the games, and Scott will say, where did these games come from? This is organic. It's great.
Yeah, it'll be great. I like it. I've been so busy. You guys have taken the saddle by the horns. That's not a phrase, is it? There's no horns on a saddle, is there?
What we did.
I like it. It's good.
It's a bold new way to plan, but we're
actually it. That's not true. There is a horn, right? It's the one little knob you hold on to. They call that the saddle horn. I think it is. Holding your knob, right? Anyway. So the point is, it's coming. We're going to make a bunch of money for charity. We don't take any of it. It's all charity, all of it. And it's a great way for the podcast communities and the game players themselves, the players of this fine game, Heroes of the Storm, to come together and do something rad for people who need it.
I mean, we had we had a lot of people in our chat, too. It was exciting.
Yeah, it was great.
Stoked.
Yeah. And I think we can beat every record this year. I don't see any reason why we can't. And think of this. This is the weird bit. This is 1 month away. So it sounds like, oh, June, it's so far. No, dude, it's a month. June 2nd is literally 30 days from today. Or is it 31? Whatever it is.
All right, now I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Be excited. Have
I'll be excited. I've got to move this week, and then I'll all that move anxiety will be pushed aside.
Yeah,
just
I have
eat a bunch of Tums.
I have a GIF of Bo moving. Look at this chat. Whoops. This is Bo moving. Check it out.
You went to the future and brought back a photograph.
I did.
A moving picture. If you
I
will.
Did. And it looks a lot like a really old cartoon. But
it's like my current status is kind of accurate. I'm trying to find people to help me move. So it's like,
what do you
I
do?
I literally contemplated that. I was like,
yeah.
Can I do it? You know? And
if John and I lived around, we would maybe him and Haw, but we'd help. We'd totally help.
Oh, I would absolutely help. That said, I'm so glad I don't live close enough.
Yeah, I hate moving. I hate it. Yeah, it's the worst
thing. You guys are too kind to say it, but as someone who's helped people move, I know the whole.
I mean, I would do it.
Of course I'd help.
I do it all the time for people that I know. I would totally do it for you, but I don't live in Canada, so I'm not going to be able to do it. However, that day, I will think of you, and I might move some furniture and aim it the other direction or something weird like that.
Nice of you.
Yeah. Just in celebration, sweet. Knowing Bo had to move. So how's that going to affect? You don't know this, I guess, yet, but kind of a little transition with the internet and things. We don't know how that's all going to go, do we?
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, I can just call in. Terpstra does it on the instance, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. He phones it in every time.
All right, made it to the show this month.
Yeah, you might say that Terpstra always phones it in. Look at me slinging shit.
I'm calling 911.
It's actually over there. It's like 325 or some shitty number like that.
Oh, 1-800-999-3784-23.
Is that a thing?
That's from the IT crowd.
Oh, from the IT crowd. I remember that now.
I can just see Tony Stark popping and saying, no more pop culture references now.
Do you guys have the 911? Or do you have it? Or is it different? Do you have a different number?
No, we got a 911.
Okay.
I've called
that
it.
Was maybe the most old man thing I've ever heard.
You guys up there in Canada, you got the 911?
And I made a Murphy Brown reference today. Now, do you have the 911?
What I mean is, now America is technologically advanced.
I don't mean it in the old guy way. It's like in Britain, the UK, they got some weird number that's nothing like 911. It's like some other number. And so I thought, well, maybe Canada's different. Maybe they got like, you know, I don't know.
You know what? I think it's fine. You're fine. We're just poking a little fun.
It's all good. Oh, 999. Is that it over there? Zoe would know. She's from Britain and she was at the Vegas meetup. She's a trooper, man. She
brought that.
Zoe brings bacon in the chat room.
Did she bring bacon?
Yeah, I have it.
Yes!
It's upstairs. It's upstairs, but she brought me this little plastic bacon loaf. And Ibbot and a bunch of other people got it. Yes, Malaram's right. 1-800-MOUNTIE. There you go. All right. So this is all very exciting. I can't wait. And we'll see how it goes in June. So we're looking forward to it.
We'll be talking about it every week, too.
So. Yeah, it'll be a big deal.
If you're laughing too much from us, you'll hear about it next
week. Yeah, if we're being dumb and you laughed, you can hear about it next week. All right, here's the deal. Deckard Cain, out. Been out for a week now. I was very sad, actually, to be leaving. For a couple of reasons, I'm playing God of War and loving it, but now I'm behind everybody because I had to leave, and I can't take my PS4 with me. So I went and did that, and it's been really busy since. My Kickstarter is going nuts, so I had to kind of buckle down on that, and there's a million things for that going on. So I have not had a ton of time with Deckard Cain, but every game I have played with him, which have all been quick matches, by the way, he might be my new favorite healer main. I don't want to piss Stukov off because he's great. I love me some General Stukov, but was he a general? I don't know what he was. What was he?
Admiral. He seems admiral. Admiral-y.
Yeah, admiral.
Yeah, admiral. Okay, yeah, higher rank than I was giving him, but he's okay. I mean, I'm not gonna leave him or anything the way I had to with Karazim until he gets his poop together. But yeah, I really like him. Here's a couple thoughts though, and then we'll go around the table. I think what I like about him is he's just got a very snappy kit. And I was actually worried about his kit because everything has a wind-up with the exception of the potion. But even that has kind of a wind-up. There's a little bit of time to toss it, but not so much a wind-up. The other major bits of his kit, including his ultimate that is Lornado, all have somewhat significant wind-up to them. And I was worried about that. From the beginning and also in my early games, I just thought that was maybe going to be an issue. Was kind of having flashbacks of like what Chromie felt like to me before I decided I don't like Chromie. So I was worried. And it turns out that worry is completely dumb. There's no reason to worry. The Herodric Cube, yes, takes a little bit of wind up, but it's great for lane clear. It's great for, depending on how you talent it, doing some really rad damage and decreasing cooldowns and some other stuff. And that big triangle thing, which I really, what's it called? What's E? Or W?
Scroll.
No, Roger Cube.
No, or what's the... Ceiling
scroll of ceiling.
Scroll of ceiling. That's it.
That's like a ceiling as in ceiling, not ceiling like the thing on the top of your...
Yeah, like you seal the ground.
Not what you showed us when we got on the call with you.
Yeah, right, that. Speaking of which, this side note real quick. Upstairs is a girl who's seeing Nick, my son, and she's super nice. She's awesome. We really like her. She comes over all the time. They're up there making cookies or something. And which I hope I benefit from directly. No,
is that what the kids are calling it?
Actual cookies are being baked in an oven.
1920s are back in a big way.
So she's up there. I come whipping around the corner, and I don't notice this, but all down the front of me, because from lunch, there is like this fry sauce stuff my wife got at this burger place, is all up and down my pants and the front of my shirt. It's like everywhere on my pants, and I look terrible. And my zipper's open. Just there it is. And she's standing there. And I said, John, you'll know what this is. And so you, Bo. I said to her, hey, have you seen Avengers yet? She goes, no. I go, okay, let me ask you a question. If you got three kids and only three chairs, six kids and three chairs, but everyone has to have a chair and they can't sit in each other's lap, what do you do? And I'm testing her. And I'm not going to finish that thing because people will call it a spoiler, even though it isn't. So I'm telling her that, and I'm standing there with my freaking barn door wide open. And she's like, she puts her hand on her hand. She's just this cute, adorable, nice, sweet girl. And she puts her hand on her hand, and she goes, oh, I'm not good at puzzles like this, by the way, your zipper's down. That's how I knew. Anyways,
that's
sorry.
So good. Sorry, I like sorry. That she told you.
Yeah, it was a bummer. She was super sweet, though. She would never intentionally embarrass me, but I'm a mess today. It's fine, though.
She would never unzip your pants and then make it like... She would never do that.
No, never. Never. I hope never. Good. Yeah, that's the hope in the dream.
Sorry, I know that may be skirting the line a little bit.
Well,
sorry,
yes, we are in that line, and everyone's skirting it. All right, so here's the thing. What was I saying? Oh, I don't remember. Oh, no, no, no.
Deckard
Cain. So his windups, my fears were misplaced. I think that they are pretty great, actually. And I think what I like about the seal... the thing that I was worried about is it would take a long time to draw, and it does, right? It's a long cast. I thought that was going to end up being so telegraphed that people would just get out of the way. And yes, they can and do, but what I'm finding in my limited few days of experience of playing him is that they often don't. And it's because they've started on the far end near me, and when I lay it down, they try to go the other way because there's minion pressure, there's other players there, there's reasons for them to sort of panic. And they run toward the top of the pyramid, and it's so far for them that I draw it before they leave, and I end up rooting them. And every single MVP screen, I'm getting best, you know, total time of rooting in the game. Like I'm winning that little achievement every freaking time. It's a great little root. It's very helpful for your team. It's awesome. I love it. So... I was worried about that. I'm not worried about that anymore. I thought the cube was going to be slow. I mean, it kind of is, but it still pops where you need it to and is a great little thing to mess around with. To his main point of existing, which is tossing these health files out, here's my only complaint. There are some very dumb people in Quick Match, like really dumb, low IQ, scraping the bottom of the barrel, eating their own poo kind of people. All right? maybe that's a little too far. But they're dumb.
No, I think you're some of them for sure. This qualifies.
It's pretty bad. They don't know what I'm doing. So I will see a Nova who would actually greatly benefit from one of these vials because she gets a lot more health off of it given her limited life pool, health pool. I'll throw one out and she just ignores it, like just not paying attention to it. So I started getting into let's see how well we can skill shot and lead these. And because if you can hit people with them, then you heal them and they don't have to walk over to it. So I'm doing a lot of aiming, trying to do that. But there's herky jerky, wannabe, stutter steppy, idiot cheese bucket fart knuckers. They're out there just wobbling around like dummies. and they just are ignoring the poop I put on the ground, or at least some of them are. The ones, there's plenty who get it. But what I started to find out was I'm very strong in a retreat kind of scenario. So if we're fight, and now they're at full strength, and dragon's dead, but we better retreat. Someone hits V, blink, blink. Everyone says, get out of there. We start running back, and I backpedal, looking at them, sort of, and then just bloop, 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 popping them out right in front of me. They have no choice but to run over them. And then I upgrade, I do the talent where you get an area of effect, kind of a fart off of it. And it's great late game. Like, I'm keeping people healed like crazy. I think he's rad. So, and Lornado's great. I thought that Stay A While and Listen's a great joke, but since everyone can be woken up with damage, it's kind of useless in its current form. I think that Lornado is really dumb on paper, but actually very effective in the game and can cause all kinds of disruption when the other team least needs it, and it's great. So big fan of that, and overall, just all in on Deckard Cain. And I can't wait.
Works well together, right?
Great combo. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all like, because you're like, oh, they might walk out, but then you've got them slowed.
Yeah.
And they can't get out.
It's got a bit of a timing tweak. Like, you have to, at least in my experience, you got to lay down that seal, kind of anticipate when you're going to lock and launch the cube in that area where they're going to get locked. So you kind of have to positionally predict where they're going to be a little bit. And then pop that cube right before the lock pops so that you can guarantee a hit with it, or try to as best you can. And it's very satisfying because you end up doing it a lot. Like, it's a combo that is not as hard as it seems like it should be. It does take some attention, but it just feels great. And then later on, while I've got health files that are automatically refilling themselves over time, that's awesome, dude. Just leaving that shit around and everyone's like,
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. Love it, love it. So that's
my take. I love that the WE throws off their path math.
Mm.
You know, you think like, oh, it's going to take me so many seconds to get from point A to point B.
Right.
And then, I just wanted to say path math.
We all have a chance in our lives to say path math at least once.
WE, like, I didn't, seeing it in the video, I didn't expect them to work so well together. I mean, friendly teammates also slowing helps too. Like, that's,
yeah,
there's a big scrum and someone throws out a big slow, and then all of a sudden they can't get out of your widely telegraphed triangle.
Right.
And I think part of the reason is it turns out everybody's bad at shapes. We saw the kit and we're like, oh man, this is a slow triangle. No one will be stuck in this. And then you get in the game and you see that first line go and you're like, I'm the smartest player. I know how to get out of a triangle. I will do this. And you start running and then it angles and you realize you're running towards the farthest possible point. And yeah, you're just like, well, I'm bad at shapes. Turns out I can't get out of
that. That reminds me, that was the best review of Deckard. John and I were playing and he's like, Deckard's just about shapes. It's just shapes because it's two Deckards and it's just triangles and squares everywhere.
It is a lot of that. Yeah. He's Mr. Glyph Boy, basically.
Oh, and he's got a circle. Lornado's a circle. He's got all the shapes.
Yeah. He's got every shape taken care of. He's even got a nice cone that he does if you pick this to Stay A While and Listen. But so John, that's what I like about it. And having been on the receiving end of somebody else playing him, it's impossible for you to know when that first line is being drawn, which, if it's going to go left or right, you don't know.
Right. It's kind of tricky. I kind of feel like the best strategy is to watch where the line is drawing and then just head straight for that line, assuming it's close to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because by the time it has started drawing the first turn, you're probably not going to get out in time unless you have a way to avoid it.
Yeah, I agree. It's really cool. I like it a lot. Other thoughts? Anybody else? But Bo, what's your overall on Deckard?
So it's weird because I had a lot of energy last week and we didn't end up doing a show on my thoughts on it. So I'm just trying to sum them back up because I'm not playing him.
Oh.
But I was surprisingly enamored with him. Mm. I thought he was a lot of fun. Like, I was a little bit like, I don't want Kane in the Nexus. I think they did a phenomenal job of what they did with everything. Mm. It's really fun to play him. Lornado's great.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to repeat what you said, which is just everything feels like a lot of fun to play. It's a lot of fun to throw down healing potions. It's a lot of fun to do everything that he has on his kit.
Yeah, he's
even
just
hitting
fun.
People with a stick is like pathetic in the right way.
Yeah, it is. If I had only one complaint, his melee, I mean, it sucks. It's not, it's terrible. It's slow in the way that Stukov is, but not powerful in the way that Stukov is. So you kind
of
make it.
Did you try taking any of the melee talents? I haven't yet, but there's one where he gets a stun on his melee every 5 seconds.
Which
it's like super fun. It's
so really like Lily's going, I'm throwing jugs. He bonks around the head to make her stop. Or
John, is it effective? Do you feel like you made a good choice? Is that talent rewarding, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know, because I don't remember off the top of my head what it's up against, but in the time that I tried it, I had a lot of fun with it, because you're just an old man, and every time you smack somebody with a stick, they're like, whoa, and they just stop, and it feels really good, but, you know, his melee isn't going to impress anybody. I know last week when we played our games here, we had a moment where Kyle on Tyrael and Jeff on Deckard were sitting there trying to clear a wave of minions, and they just finally said, yeah, we need to do something else with our time, and wandered away. They were defeated by boredom. So it was, you know, it's not going to win any competitions, their melee.
Sure. Plus, you know, every fifth hit is not inspiring necessarily, but that's still, I mean, that's one of those things they'll get. PTR notes will be like, Deckard Cain is now every three hits or something, which would put him on par with a lot of other game mechanics where a third hit is always something like more damage or crit, or Karazim does, you know, gets mana back, or what's the other thing he does?
Rule of three.
Yeah.
Well, all of his talents give him a special bonus in the third hit. So. Yeah.
And no one ever talks about
gives him mana, healing gives him healing, and damage gives him damage.
And no one talks about rule of fives. That's not a thing. Nobody goes, oh, the rule of fives, Mario's got to hit Bowser five times. No, he doesn't. Three!
Yeah. Mario has to hit Bowser five times, the only reason people talk about it is saying how messed up that was.
See? I told you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of out of it tonight. All right. So, John, any further thinking about the Deckard Cain there after a week?
No, I'm kind of like Bo. I haven't really played him. The times that I've tried him and put a little bit of time into him, I really like his kit. He is surprisingly spammy. I noticed that every time we were fighting against the Deckard and that triangle started to come out, I had the thought of, he gets to do this again?
Yeah. Yeah,
he did this. Had to run away.
You can pretty drastically reduce the cooldown on that with a talent. I forget what level, so that every time you successfully pop, well, I guess Herodric Cube just going off in general will reduce the cooldown on.
Yeah, it's every hero hit.
Is that what it is? Okay.
3 seconds shaved off of the triangle.
So if you're effective with that triangle or with that cube, you can make it so triangle's there all the time for you if you want.
I mean, you'll have bigger uptime on it.
So. Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, constantly rooting at that level is pretty rad. Like, you're way more supporty in a way that isn't just straight up healing. But,
which
you know.
It's interesting. Like, it's because this stuff, none of it screams, I do damage. It's all battlefield manipulation stuff, with the exception of the healing.
Area control, displacement. I'm trying to think who else. You know, it's weird. This is weird. He reminds me of D.Va in a weird way. Like, stuff you need to get out of, pushes you out of the way with other things, just kind of pain in your ass, kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of his thing as a support, which is really fun.
I mean, we created last week a real obnoxious dive comp, and it was a lot of fun, and it felt like cheating at times, but boy, was it good.
Yeah.
So, I like being on that end of Deckard Cain.
On the end of that stick.
Pretty great Chen barrel victim.
Chen.
I've been playing a lot of Chen again.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, tell me about how, what's his, well, yeah, because he's
just, he got a few talent changes and I enjoy them specifically for quick match, because a lot of people play a lot of assassins. The 30% reduction of spell armor is considerable.
Yeah, that sounds
good.
You get
a level 7 now. So I've just been, not even that. I think Chen is just one of my favorite characters. And we're getting to this point in the game, there's so many characters. I just want to play the characters I find fun.
Yeah, well, there's enough of them that you don't feel like you have that's not a short list anymore. And you can still be competitive and have a pool that you enjoy, which I think is pretty cool. I also like that's where we're getting with this thing. Well, anyway, there you go. Deckard Cain. He's pretty cool. And for the most part, people seem to dig what he is selling. We'll probably see him on the stream tonight because I'm going to play him for sure.
Before we end this part of the show, I just also looked up that Alexei Stukov was a vice admiral. So it just means he's an admiral that's good at breaking up prostitution rings.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was an admiral who just couldn't quit smoking.
We have to get the drugs.
This prostitution is too much hassle, he'd say. All right. Well, hey, let's look at the Raven Lord for a minute. Let's look up his skirt and see what's going on.
That's where the dark nexus is.
There's the dark nexus. So some of you may have noticed, if you weren't paying attention to the website, the blog, the video interviews, or any of that other stuff, when you logged into the game, you probably noticed some kind of weird red crystal, strange-looking growth on everything. Clearly something's up with the backgrounds. It's not just the nice, pretty Tron backgrounds that you're used to getting in character select. You're getting something a little darker, a little weirder. And that's all part of the upcoming stuff and also what's out now. So here's what we've got so far. The Raven Lord comic, which I meant to read today because I was going to do that before the show and I had too much to do and I didn't. So who's read it?
I have.
Okay, John, tell me about the comic known as the what's it called? Just Raven Lords here, everybody.com. What's it called? Just got a name.
Rise of the Raven Lord.
All right, there you
Rise
go.
Rise of the Raven Lord. All right. So fancy one-eyed Medivh. He's all about. I read it really quick while I was at work, and it's basically about him deciding he needs to gain power in the Nexus, and he's going to do so by any means. And he opens up the path to the Dark Nexus, and releases these twisted incarnations of heroes. Although, actually, and maybe you guys can clarify this for me a little bit. So the twisted characters that we get, which are basically skins in this case for Alarak and Gul'dan, I don't know if these are supposed to be like alternate reality versions of them or if it's the embodiment of like malice or whatever it is, and they happen to just look like Gul'dan and Alarak.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. They're using skins as a plot. Right, which is interesting. I kind of like them leaning into that, so instead of it just being a thing to spend money on or try to get through boxes, it's actually got some meaning in the world, I guess. Which
there's
is
also a Dahaka cool. one, but it gets killed.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
I don't know if that's wasn't ready in time, so
that was Earth but, 3 Nexus 3
Yeah, there's also a Dahaka one that comes out.
So. Interesting.
It's all right. It's a decent enough comic. It was a fun little diversion, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that I feel like they captured the voice of the Raven Lord properly. At one point, like, he's got that kind of smug arrogance that you see in the game, where he's always just, you know, the talent, that seems generous. You know, like that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
He manages to have that in the comic, and I thought that was a nice thing.
Well, how's the art from that side of things? We talked about how I kind of had a problem with that fist on the front. Looks like they tweaked it actually a little bit, so it's not quite so papery looking. But what do you think of the art? Is it okay?
Yeah, I'd say serviceable.
Serviceable.
That is
look. Art is subjective. Things are going to be for some people and not for others. It conveyed what it needed to convey. It's not my style.
Yeah,
it's got kind of like we did this in Photoshop sort of feel. I guess like not. It's not like penciled. Evidently,
well, it feels drawn. You know what it feels like? It feels like concept artists did it. And that's okay, because I actually kind of like that. I like quick, not dirty, it's not the right word, but quick, drawn, painted stuff from Blizzard's artists specifically. I really like when that stuff happens. There's a little of that going on.
I think the colors are amazing. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it's very colorful. I think, okay, so here's what I'll say. The way the skins look in the game, this art style represents that extremely well. And when you read the comic, when you look at like the quote-unquote skins that appear in there. I think the Gul'dan and the Alarak and the Dahaka all look really cool, and it very clearly looks like this style was based around that look. And I think that part looks good. I just, all the other stuff, it's all right.
Yeah, I understand. No,
it's pretty good.
My first impression was similar, but yeah.
I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's super gripping at this point, but I liked it. It was nice.
Yeah.
Nice
to see. Hey, we're getting it, and that's what matters here. Also, there was this interview with DeBerry with, is it Kevin? Yeah, Kevin Johnson, not the basketball player, formerly of the, actually, I think they played in Phoenix, didn't they?
Yeah,
Kevin
Phoenix Johnson. Suns. I met him.
Oh, really? How was that? Was he nice?
He was. It was very brief, though, for most of them. The only one I had a extended interaction with, really, was Charles Barkley.
Oh, what happened there? Hold on a minute. Can't just jump right over that. What did Charles Barkley, what was that experience like?
So Charles Barkley is great. He will forever be a hero to me. When I was a little kid, back when he played for the Suns, he was my favorite basketball player. We went there to meet them during their training camp in Flagstaff, and he was running late to training, and he was trying to real quick do that thing where you go down the line and you sign stuff. Well, I was right by the front door, and he was already running late, and so he got to me, and he just said, I'm running late. Come back in the evening. I'll get you. I'll get you. And he went running inside. So, okay. So we go, we show up that night when they were supposed to get out, but it was the night he got injured that would end up kind of ending his career.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't coming out. The guy finally came out and said, yeah, he got hurt. They're actually going to take him to the hospital.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, oh, okay. And the guy, you know, the security guard or whoever was talking to him disappeared and then came back out. And he says, Charles says he remembers you. Bring him over the fence. And
no way.
Lifted me over the fence while he's injured. And he comes limping out and, you know, talks to me, signs the basketball, goes down, signs for a couple other fans, and then literally gets in an ambulance and goes to the hospital.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. Is it okay that I'm picturing you being lifted over a fence at your right now, like just as I know you now? Is that okay to imagine
that's probably
that?
Not a good thing to imagine.
I'm just imagining you just kind of being picked up by some giant basketball player and like just lowered to the other side and going, quite a treasure you've got. Like what, just being John, that'd be amazing. Anyway, well, that's a fantastic little side note. We got a lot of good side notes today, everybody. But what did we gain out of this video, do you think? Like, what's the takeaway? Bo, what did you walk away with? Did Alan DeBerry address enough of what we should expect from all this lore business or anything else in the game for that matter?
Well, I'm panicking because I put it in here and meant to watch it and realized I haven't watched it.
Oh, all right. I watched that.
You watched it? Yeah. I was like, so John, oops.
Yeah, how'd it go, John?
It was good. They teased that they're going to potentially do cinematics in line with the stuff that they're talking about. That seemed like the big takeaway for me as somebody who likes the cinematics. But they're very, you know, I would say they seem very excited about this idea of doing more lore stuff and diving into the lore of the Nexus. And they seem very eager to get people's feedback and what they like and what they don't like and all of that. I think I'm into it. I'm super into the idea of lore for the Nexus. I've been wondering about it since it came out. It's why I spent an afternoon one time reading all the skin descriptions in the game. The only thing I would say is that they have already called this BlizzCon the game, which immediately makes me think of things like the Avengers. It's the bringing together of all these separate things into one. And so when I read things like the Ravenlord comic, and granted, it's just the first issue. It's got to take its time. But the strength to that is you want to see these characters interact that don't normally get to interact or see each other. And we haven't seen any of that yet. So
sorry.
That's the part I'd be interested in.
I might have had a little water go the wrong direction. I was really into what you were saying, and then I just swallowed it funny.
I was trying to buy time. I thought you were good. You started to come back, and then I stopped and saw you like, oh, no, he's not done.
No, I appreciate that. I don't know what happened there. A little bit of gasket problems. Anyway, no, I don't know what happened. I know how to swallow. What the hell's wrong with me today? Nothing's working right. Anyway, I watched a chunk of the video. I didn't have a chance to see the entire thing. I do like that they're leaning into this. I also like that he's wearing the jacket that they gave us for that summit thing. So that's cool to see.
Those jackets are legendary now.
They kind of are. I wore that in Vegas and got too hot and I couldn't wear it the rest of the time, but
Bummer.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, did they bring up anything about Nexus Originals? It's like Heroes. I mean, like
Heroes. Oh, original Heroes from the Nexus. Not the part that I heard. Did you, John, did you catch any of that? Did he say anything about exclusive?
Not a commitment, but like an illusion or like a...
They didn't really commit to much with regards to that, but one thing they did say that's kind of tied to what you're talking about is they said that, you know, for this year, for 2018, one of their big focuses is building content around the story of the Nexus, which could be potentially original, you know, they didn't specifically say it, but it could be original Nexus content. They did, however, also clarify for anybody that sounds scary to, that it's not going to be 100% of everything they put out. They still might feel the need to do, okay, here's Deckard Cain in a Space Marine outfit. They didn't use that example as my example.
Oh, right. That'd be cool, though.
I know, right?
No, like,
old man Space Marine.
Got an energy stick?
Yeah. but they're so it's not going to be 100% tied to the story, but as far as a lot of the content goes, you know, they're really making that a focus, so it's going to be a lot of stuff like this.
Yeah. Well,
cool, because when that jumped out at me in the comic, he mentions a character named Orphea, and I was like, I think these are going to be heroes. I think Ravenlord's going to be a hero.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's I would be shocked if they don't end up being playables in the game. Like, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If they don't do it, I'll be totally surprised.
They did push back a little on the concept of characters like Ravenlord being playable, saying that they're demigods and they'd be too powerful. But, you know, they also don't like to talk about heroes before they're showing them. So there's a good chance that they're, you know, playing.
Maybe cool. Maybe not the Ravenlord, but maybe the Ravenlord has a son.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the Raven Lad.
Raven Lad.
I was gonna go with like Toby Raven or Toby Lord, but yeah,
Toby Lord. Good. I like it. That's good.
But yeah, he's got a kid, or you know, something, or he has his own champions.
Oh,
he's
duh, like, it's Raven Lord and his Raven Ward. Duh,
it's yeah. Raven Ward.
That's yeah,
good.
His son Ward.
Yeah.
incidentally, I have a cousin, like a second cousin named Ward.
Oh, my grandpa. I had a grandpa named Ward as well. It was like weird.
It's a weird name, right? Like, yeah. I don't mean any offense. It's just
weird. Ward. Yeah, it's weird.
Also, I just want to throw out, who's this old lady named Neve in this comic?
Oh,
old lady that at first I was like, that's a weird Chromie that has shown up.
I think she's his Alfred.
Oh,
okay.
Like this comic like resonates. There's like Infinity Gauntlet gems in it. He's got a center chest for a laser. He's got Nash Maggard's eye. Mm-hmm. He's got you know, like all, he's got an Alfred helper. I just feel like there's a lot of like
the old lady reminds me, even though she looks like she's a little like she does look like old Chromie, right?
Yeah.
Because she's little, she's dwarven or something. But she also looks like Mom from Futurama, so I don't know. I don't know how to feel about her. I can't tell. I need to read through this anyway because I haven't read it. But yeah, look at her there. She looks like Tiny Chromie. That's what's going on there.
Tiny Chromie.
She says, there are no way to control beings from the Dark Nexus. Unleash them and your family will never forgive you. I accept that. Go now, says the Raven Lord. Anyway.
I think the Dark Nexus is like evil... The universe where like evil Scott is from, and evil John.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there would be a Dark Nexus version of us.
Goatees, packing heat. I know what's up.
That's how you define us. We're like, yeah, we got guns.
Guns and goatees.
It's John and Scott, but this time we got guns.
Well, anyway,
I got one more thing to add though.
Go ahead, please.
Like for this portion of it that I don't want to spoil for everyone, but I want to let everyone know about. Is that Deckard? You know, there's these pissed sound files. When you click on heroes, they say things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he actually goes into detail about several realms that we haven't seen. You would, and I take it for truth. So if you're interested in finding out, go click on him. So I'm not going to spoil it here.
Sure, people may not want to hear it yet, but yes,
there are reveals in the Deckard pissed voice lines.
There's reveals in Deckard's piss.
I'm just saying, he's like, he'll take you on a tour of the different realms.
I'm into it.
Quite a treasure in my bedpan. Take a look.
I will identify your urinary tract infection for free. There's also these two additional videos, the Dark Nexus videos. So I have some audio on this one.
Power of the Dark Nexus.
This is to reveal his skin, so you got some Alaraki skin business. Let's see what else we got here. I'm trying to skip ahead. Here we go. There's Gul'dan and his business. Yeah, they're pretty cool. I mean, they're skins. What they have to do with the world and anything outside of the comic, who knows? But the comic certainly, you know, gives you previews of this stuff. Ooh, those mounts, those dog things mounts.
Oh yeah, there's two new mounts in the game as well. Ooh. They're dark Nexus mounts.
It does look cool. Like I think the new skin stuff, when they kind of got teased out early, a couple weeks ago, I was like, that doesn't seem that great. But seeing them up close and with a big price tag underneath them, I was like, oh, this stuff looks pretty good.
Yeah.
They're actually 600 shards, though. These aren't, like, they're really good for 600 shard skins, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That surprises me. I was just looking at the gems cost, which I was like, oh.
Well,
they're not expensive shards if you want a 10th, actually.
Do you like that Manta mount? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the only thing that's expensive is the dog mount. It's 2,400, but the rest of it's 600 a piece. Like, they're super affordable shard.
Yeah, the dog, the Dark Nexus Hound mount is legendary. The Dark Nexus Manta mount is epic. It looks like all the skins are epic. So yeah, 600 shards or 400 or 600, 600, right? I don't know. Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Look at Gul'dan. Look at him all yellow with his hands. That's great.
It's hard to put this in somewhere too, but heard of what this is too. You guys have been in the game since Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
The cool overlay thing they've done in the game as part of the event.
Yeah, isn't
that's
cool?
New.
Yeah,
that's a first.
That's totally
I thought,
new.
I didn't expect that, and I think that's awesome.
I didn't either. You log in there in the player select screen, you're like, what the hell is this stuff on the side? Like, it's all creepy and goopy and weird, and it's awesome. I love that. It's like teasy. We don't know what it means. Like, that's a great way to mess with us. I like it a lot. Now where that leads, who knows, but it reminds me of it's like when you play wild in Hearthstone, everything gets like a bunch of vines all tangled up in the board, and it's like a whole new looking board because there's like a giant plant that took everything over. It's kind of like that. It's exciting. I like it.
Yeah, I think it too.
Yeah. Anyway, Alarak and Gul'dan, weird choices, but maybe that's story reasons for the comic or something. I don't know. It's fine. Though Artanis would look better, in my opinion, in a Dark Nexus skin.
Can't make him a bad guy. John will be so sad.
That's just because Alarak's a dick. He's a dick.
I think they were two that were probably due for a new skin.
Yeah.
Dahaka, not so much. Maybe it's a good thing he destroyed the Dahaka one. Dahaka's got plenty of skins, including that sweet dinosaur one. But
that's true.
Yeah, I think Gul'dan especially, like, he's a weird one. How do you make a guy with a weird loincloth like a exciting skin? And they found a way. So
yep, they did. Life finds a way. Hey, there's an esports tab now. You guys check that out. That's a thing.
This was impressive. Like, so you weren't finished what you were saying. I just
no. I'm curious. Tell me what you think, because I didn't even notice it until I was looking at notes.
Yeah, so earlier. I guess last show we talked about, hey, there's a thing up top says Deckard on it. What else could be there? No. Well, there's a Dark Nexus tab and there's an esports tab, and it has links to videos and articles and stuff. So this is the beginning of building up that in-client, like, let's put knowledge in the game. So all those people Scott are complaining about in Quick Match, maybe they're not that bad anymore, because there's like not everyone goes to Reddit, not everyone goes to educate themselves, but if they're in the game and they trip over a manual about how to play better, they might look at it. So, you know, and that's not the only reason to have it there, but it's nice for it to all be there.
Had a theory, and I liked it. It was on Twitter. It was before I left last week, where you thought, or at least the idea was, ooh, a tab for Deckard. Does that mean maybe tabs for all the, are you putting your favorite landing screens on there? Like if you really like the old Sylvanas one, you can have that in rotation or whatever. And we've talked about it on the show.
Junkrat, the best one.
Yeah, Junkrat's great. The best one. Yeah, it's really good. So that would be cool. I don't know if this is that though, and I'm a little bummed that it isn't. It'd be cool if you could click on that Decker tab and have a big list of all of the little cool static, you know, 3D screens with intros they've made.
You know, you say that, but they have it in StarCraft too. Actually, yeah. I don't know if you've been in the game for a while, but right now on the main screen, if you go into settings, you can pick from any of the like they have a. There's, I was stunned. I'm like, there's 20 of them. Like these intros when you log in, swoosh. You can pick Stukov. There's one where it's like the sexy sort of close up, I think, of Stukov's butt, and then it zooms out and it, you know, his hand. He looks all hot and handsome.
Yeah,
I think I got that right, but it's something like that. And so there's a Stukov one, and there's like a Raynor one, and there's a Kerrigan from when she's in a human dread mode from Heart of the Swarm. There's one like that in there, and I was like, oh, cool. So, like, I think maybe you're right. They won't do it because they want to put the promotions there, log in and buy stuff, and here's what's new in esports. At the same time, we can do it. They can do it.
Oh, we have the technology.
I hope they do it. I think maybe if I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat about it, I would say this is something that they could put in loot boxes.
Yeah.
Like, because that's always the incentive is let's try to find a way to make loot boxes more enticing. That's another item you could put in there. I got the, you know, Sylvanas landing screen. Yay. That's, I would be excited about that.
No, that's actually a pretty good point. And maybe they are. Maybe they will. I mean, I think people would want it. I like the idea of cycling through the stuff I like the most. I love looking at that stuff. It's super creative. And the minute a new hero goes comes out, it's like, oh, that's gone now, and we'll never see it again. It just feels weird to do all that work and not have some way to check it out again. So who knows? That's probably not a huge priority for them, but it did get us excited ever so briefly. And I did tell Lashes that she confirmed it by saying something to that.
Yeah, she seemed really thrilled.
That's her personal account.
I know.
She seemed really thrilled that you were going so hard on, yeah, you confirmed it. Look at that.
Yeah, it sounds like a confirmation. She's like, this is my personal account. I don't speak for the company on here. You know, she's like, totally like that, which is great. That's what she should do. And I apologize for being dumb.
And we can't help it. We love the game and we want to find out everything there is to find out.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. All right. Hey, guess what? Me coming back this week means that we don't have to skip. There will be dungeons this weekend, which I'm really excited about. So if you have not been paying attention or watching our fantastic 5th edition rules post-apocalyptic adventure in D&D, then you might want to check it out. It's every Saturday. We start at 3 p.m. Mountain, so that's 2 p.m. Pacific. Was that 5 p.m. Eastern? And we go like 3 hours on average, and it's a blast. It's so much fun. All you need to learn and see and find is over at therewillbedungeons.com. Don't confuse that with dragons. It's therewillbedungeons.com. Some people conflate those words. And everything you need to know is there. So go and come and be and live, because it's fantastic, and I miss it terribly. The only problem I have is, all I remember is there's a giant Cyclops to fight. And I think that's right where we're at. So,
well, he has Varel. And for those who aren't listening, it's our lizard folk character.
Yeah.
Who's a savage hunter and lizard king. And he's currently in the hand of a Cyclops who just said, "Where's my shiny?"
That's right. That's right. Bo's keeping himself in voice. It's fantastic. And then, by the way, that lizard, for those who don't pay attention, is actually Kyle Ferguson, famed Heroes player and a co-host of Into the Nexus. Yeah, that's right. So that and so much more available to you each and every weekend. And we're back at it this weekend at therewillbedungeons.com. It'll be live right here at frogpants.tv. So check it out and be done. You're dumb if you don't. No, you're not dumb. You're nice if you don't, but don't. But you should still come check it out. Got a quick email here from Jason, who wrote in to core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. And he says, love the show. I'm a patron for Unfriend Me and Jury. I'll find some extra change to jump on you guys too. Sorry. Yeah, to jump. I think he means dump, but he said jump. My question is, what's the best resource for drafting and how can I use it? I'm comfortable using the first and second pick for meta picks, typically tank and healer, but for 3 through 5, I really have no idea how to counterpick. I can easily say, oh, they have a Sonya. I can go with Rainer or an outrange her. But then I find myself saying every game because there will always be melee heroes and I don't know, or sorry, that I don't know. What? And I know that isn't how it works. Sorry. I would love to resolve that in a semi-accurate, I can't read. I would love to a, shit. I would love a resource that is semi-accurate because I'm unsure about the sites like Heroes of the Storm, Hero Counterpicks Guide, when they seem to constantly recommend heroes that are supposed to be niche like Butcher and Nova. Help. Thank you. Jason. All right. Bo, you're an expert drafter. What do you do 3 through 5? That's the nebulous area, man, especially now that there's so many more heroes to play and the meta is shifting so quickly. Like 3 to 5, you don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do there. What do you do?
Sorry, I'm usually first and second pick for meta picks, but for 3.
Bo apparently didn't follow your.
No, I did, but
it's my fault. It's all of my fault because I read it like shit. It's
no,
my
I
fault.
Was just trying to make sure I answered the question correctly because I did understand it to mean bans, but it's not second ban. It's counterpick, right?
Right.
So yeah. He's not the second ban because I was I was hearing the words, but I was not processing them correctly, and I was like, second ban? How do I second ban?
Yeah, no, I did too when I first read it, but he's basically saying, you know, you see them pick something, you're like, ooh, all right, well, I better do this or whatever.
Well, so counterpicks, I mean, basically, we'll just go with the definition. I'm sure that you know it, so it's not to be patronizing. Just counterpick is basically you are shutting something down that they have on their team. You have a hero that will shut them down. And so if someone early picks a Chen, let's say, you might pick up something that's got a lot of stun, or you and the people in the last picks might start prioritizing it if your team is looking to focus that as a weak link in the draft. So a lot of ways to try and prevent him from drinking. So like a good example of that might be you might go for the Kerrigan, you might go for I had it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember. Mm-hmm. There's another hero I had in mind. What is it? No, I forgot. Anyways, Uther. Let's just go with Uther. he's got a stun on cooldown. Like any way that you can keep hammering home something in a big way. So he brought up interesting things like Butcher and Nova. Butcher and Nova will earn you ire in most of your drafts in Hero League and even probably in Ranked if they're picked early because they get countered easy. But they are counters, and it's generally speaking because their gameplay is one style, and they don't have a lot of versatility. The more versatile a hero is at what they can do or their role, the less counterpickable they are, depending on the amount of knowledge. I mean, it's based on knowledge. Someone can accidentally counterpick someone and just think they've done amazingly when really they have a hero to shut them down. So right. How do you counterpick? That's up to knowledge, and there's no one resource that's going to give you all the counter picks because we come across this again and again when I'm watching content, and heroes, you know, fast action Twitch games are not, they're not clean like card games are. Like, you know, you talk a lot about Hearthstone or Magic, and it's like you kind of get a sense of this card, it just trumps that card.
Right.
And when we're talking about counter picks, I think we conflate what we mean with counter picks with this is a trump versus that.
Yeah.
It just means they perform better at them. So if you don't know what those are, you have to pick that up, and you're going to pick it up by playing with other players, watching, you know, stream people who are really good at the game, talk about it, stream, watch those videos. There's no one place for all of it. Some of them are more than others. So nobody likes a first pick stealth character, because Tassadar is a counterpick to stealth. Now, there's a lot more anti-stealth options, but for a long period of time in the game, Tassadar was just like, why did you pick Zeratul? And boom, Tassadar is the counterpick, because the stealth is completely negated, and that's a big strength. The stealth is really important for stealth characters to function effectively.
Right, and bans are obviously there to kill somebody's chance at getting a counter in some cases.
But if the average skill level, or if the skill level of the stealth player is higher, significantly higher of the people counterpicking, those people still lose.
Right.
There isn't anything super hard. So it's just when it comes to your strategy, you're relying on what you know that is weak. So I don't have a recommendation for a guide or a place.
Yeah.
But you, as you play the game, as you consume the content and become educated, you will know those things. If they don't, if a team doesn't have they have a lot of squishies, not a lot of movement or stun, Butcher is great. Butcher can stun. I mean, he runs over people in quick match when he just gets assigned versus a team with spellcasters, and he's got a pocket healer or something. So that's how you counterpick it. Also, breaking up combos. So, like, you know, we talk Tassadar and Tracer, for example. Counterpicking means they've got one half of that puzzle, and you know that there's a combo in there, and that first you have to evaluate whether it works for your team. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. That's right. What the ban's for.
Right.
But you can break up their draft if it's also good for your team by taking it.
Right.
So I'm not sure if you wanted a resource or if you wanted a pep talk about this kind of stuff. But to me, that's how you're going to have to go about doing it.
It's also
to the people you play with.
It's also this game. I mean, Blizzard's famous for, they make games that basically take the rock, paper, scissors model and flesh it out into full blown video games. And they've always done that. StarCraft 1 was the best example of that in a kind of modern way. Heroes of the Storm, in a lot of ways, is a warehouse full of rocks and papers and scissors, but they're just all over the place in there. And some of the scissors are longer than other pairs of scissors, and some of the rocks are heavier and going to do more damage to the scissors that they're better against. And some of that paper will just wipe those rocks out, and you know it goes on and on and on. I think that's maybe a good way to look at it, and understand that complexity is there no matter what you do, no matter what you know. And then you tack on the skill of the player himself, him or herself, and them rocking you or not. So, you know, you have to just, I think Bo's right. You just have to play and watch and listen and play some more and, you know, kind of take it in and learn. I don't think there's any other way to do it. There's no website that tells you any of this.
To give you a practical example of this thinking too, just to not leave you completely in a lurch, is Johanna's a character I like to bring into Hero League. Because people play very aggressively. They're not super coordinated. Yeah. So you got your Genjis and your Thralls in there. And she shuts a lot of that down. And your team will be scrambling in the back. And you're not countering a hero. You're countering a strategy, which is also where your head needs to be. If you're picking a tank, you're not picking it because rock beats paper. So if I take Johanna, that means Garrosh dies all the time.
Right.
It means you're disappointing their strategy. They have their heart set on anything. They have hopes and dreams, and your job is to crush them. Your job is to tell them they didn't graduate from university and they have to spend another bunch of money next year. Yeah. That's beating the other team. And so that's where your head needs to be at. And I think you can only know how to fail people out of university if you yourself, I don't know. I'm going to stop that. You have to just know those things, and that's going to come with time.
All right.
Overall, you're on the right track by asking the question. Like, that already shows a desire to know, which is sort of the first step, like mm-hmm. Bo said, gaining knowledge. I think it's important to go into the games now and start paying attention. If you all of a sudden notice your team is just getting wrecked by something, ask yourself why. If you feel like you guys are stomping, ask yourself why. Another good thing, if you aren't sure about counterpicking, is to instead focus on your own team. Rather than always worrying about how do we counter what they're doing, is to think, what does our team need to be a well-rounded, versatile team or to be a stronger team? And sometimes it's easier if you don't feel like you have a strength in counterpicking to say, okay, I'm looking at our team right now and we have no burst damage.
Yeah.
We lack the ability to do it. Is that a role I can fill? And go towards that. So there are levels to it in a lot of ways that you can approach it from different angles. You can approach it as counter. You can approach it as building a strategy to counter their strategy. You can get down to the hero level. You can look at a team level. You can look at your own team. And again, kind of like Bo said, there's not an easy way to do that. There are utilities on places like Hotslogs that you can use, but I think you're going to get more out of your personal experience and observations and watching pros and streamers and stuff like that than you will going to a website and getting just hard number data.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys remember the time Kyle and Kristen counterpicked Cho'Gath?
Yeah.
that's going to go down as one of the greatest counterpicks in all of history.
Oh, it was amazing. But they forecasted what they were going to do so hardcore, the other team did.
Yeah, we knew it was coming, and it totally was. And they're just like, we'll play them. And their team was crap without the Cho'Gath.
Oh, that was such a good game. Oh, that was so much. That was so good. That was one of my favorite things.
But John's right. If you're playing with strangers in Hero League, just focus, unless you're trying to disappoint a general strategy, it's good to focus on just doing what your team does best.
Yeah.
If you're counterpicked by the other team and you're in the late picks, probably too late to fix that, so you just need to go hard with what you have.
Yep, go hard or go lard. All right. Hey, send us an email, core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com is our email address. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to do it. Now, I'm really hopeful. One of my biggest complaints about Heroes of the Storm is it's a hard game to stream. Not because it's not fun to watch, not because it's not fun to play, but because the engine is weird and a resource hog, and it causes all kinds of weird frame and render drops, and it's a pain in the butt. So we're going to do that tonight. Woo! But that's good, because we got to get as much practice under my belt as possible in terms of making sure we have the best possible streaming solution, so that when the deal rolls around for the charity brawl, I want to make sure that we're all guns firing on that thing. So anyway, I don't know why I tell you all that, except to say, hey, tune in here in a minute, and you'll get to see Decker Kane throw shit out of his coat, which is super exciting. It'll come in the form of health vials that people can drink and be healthier on the other side.
Oh, by the way, do you think rejuvenation potions should be purple?
Oh, that's
I saw that coming up a lot, and I was like, there's a...
That's a good
visibility
question.
It's like there's a consistency with keeping it red, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not a healing potion if it's a rejuvenation potion.
The Diablo player in me is like, yes, it should be purple, and it's heresy that it's not.
Yeah.
But the Heroes player is like, I get why they did it, but you can't tell me a rejuvenation potion is red. You just can't. My brain can't understand.
Because it's not. It's not red. And it never should be. But I also understand why they're doing it. Anyway, they got to keep things simple. All right. So there you go. Oh, and don't forget, when you're playing, a thing I forgot to say earlier, if you're playing Decker Kane, stay around your teammates. You're encouraged to do that from the get-go. It's part of your kit. That you will gain armor, you will gain all sorts of benefits, and so will they, and you can talent those even further. So don't go laning on your own or wandering around while the rest of your team does stuff. Be there in the thick of it. You get a little circle that tells you where they're all, if they're in your little zone or not. And benefit them, benefit you. Everyone benefits from that. All right. So stick around for that if you want to watch this play. In the meantime, don't forget you can support this show at patreon.com/coreshow. Huge, huge, huge undying thanks to those who already do. And if you haven't, think about it, because it's a great way to support the content you love in and around the Heroes community. So go check it out. Patreon.com/coreshow. You can also find our website at heroesforyou.com. And you can email us, like I mentioned before, core@heroesforyou.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, Core Heroes for the show, John_Jagger. That's J-O-N. No H in there. F those guys. It's just an N. John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. It's not B-O either. It's B-E-A-U. Just want to make some clarifications.
It's the French word, Bo. It means handsome.
Yeah, handsome man.
It's a very accurate usage of the word.
Very handsome man, for sure. Anyway.
that showed up right at the end.
Anyway, check that out. Do that. We'll be back next time with a brand new episode. Tune in then, please. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.